the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site covering the Arizona Cardinals, with my co-host Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. And we are firmly in off-season mode. We started the countdown to we're in the final 100 days till the season begins. We're in the final week of OTAs, and with basically this week and mini camp next week, and then we're done till training camp, Seth. It is the off-season program is almost over, and we're at episode 427. How are things going for you?
It's good, man. Just busy this time of year at work personally, and just getting ready for the season. But you know, it's been good. How's getting a little time off the real job going?
The fact I don't have to wake up at 3:45 in the morning for 2 months is fantastic. Because yeah, those of you who don't know, like, basically both of us run two parallel full-time gigs. I teach high school and do the Cardinal stuff on this along with it. I can't even say it's on the side because it's just as much work. But then, you know, that's up and writing at 3:45, 4 a.m. so I can get some content up on the site before I head into work. So, you know, I'm not tired at the end of the day. It's weird.
Yeah, you've basically conditioned yourself, right?
Yeah, pretty much. With this show, there's a whole bunch of kind of off-season type things. We'll be honest, there's not a lot of news because Jonathan Gannon, new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, is not giving us much news. He won't give us a timeline on Kyler Murray. He won't give us a timeline even on Zach Ertz. In fact, he used the identical phrase, the exact verbiage that he used for Kyler Murray. When he's physically and mentally ready, he'll be out there. Yeah. But said that both are wanting to go. Kyler wants to be out there. Zach Ertz is chomping at the bit. But Gannon, honestly, he doesn't give us much at this point of the year, because, like, even talking about DeAndre Hopkins, he needs to step up. He's like, well, it's not about the receiver step. It's about the whole team playing better. He gives us literally nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, what would you say, like Belichickian
type of
way about him. And it's fine. I mean, like you said, it makes for less intrigue for the fans in our sites, but you know, we do what we can with it and kind of move from there. And then you just have to kind of fight through a lot of this, right? Like, there's just a lot of, I don't know what the word is, nonsense maybe that this time of year, where, you know, you have to be willing to kind of understand that, well, the content you're going to get isn't going to be stuff that may have impact on the season, right?
Yeah, that's formally, like, this is the off season. It's lists and rankings and things like that.
Right. And a lot of it is, I mean, that's the thing. There's stuff that we're even embargoed from talking about if we see stuff. I mean, literally, we could, you know, lose our access to the team. So, like, we can't be like, oh, yeah, and hypothetically, oh, yeah, we saw DeAndre Hopkins playing safety and he's running like, if that's happening, it's not something we can talk about if it's during the closed portion of practice.
Correct.
So, you know, there's just a lot of nonsense that goes on, you know, that only so much that we're able to, you know, decipher, and then things we do see, we have to, like, coded talk, codedly
like,
talk.
What
about.
If? What if they decided to use all that sort of thing? And they've got 2 days of media availability for this week. By the way, we're recording a little bit early. It's a Monday morning. Maybe we can get a couple of shows in this week. But the content of our off-season shows will be a little bit different since we usually take a lot of time off. We'll try to throw in a more talking points, just, you know, things that you hear on other type of things, stuff that you can find on the internet, then read, but you can listen to us talk about instead. But there are two practices that are opening to the media, at least in part, this week for OTAs on Monday and on Thursday. I might actually be able to get down there this week, and then they have minicamp, and then we're wrapping things up. But in terms of our topics for the show today, these are kind of things that we run across other sites. Pro Football Focus has been running a whole bunch of off-season stuff, which makes for easy content for writers like us because we can discuss whether the Cardinals deserve better or whether it's fair and things like that. But I thought it was kind of an interesting thing that they did recently, and they came up with who is the best three players on every single NFL team. And I think for the Cardinals, the top two are obvious. We're going to go with a healthy Kyler Murray and then Budda Baker. Those are the two best players on the team, hands down, especially now that DeAndre Hopkins is no longer on the team. Let's discuss who we think the third best player on the team is, which I put a poll on. I actually forgot to put one player up, but Pro Football Focus included Hollywood Brown. I also threw guys, there was a poll I put on my site, Zach Ertz, DJ Humphries, James Connors, the guy I forgot, or might it be Isaiah Simmons or even Zaven Collins or someone like that? Would you agree that I'm not sure if I would include Hollywood as their third best player yet unless you're projecting it, but I don't think he's a bad choice.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where I don't know if there's a wrong choice, but I don't know if there's a right choice, but I do think there are some wrong choices. Hollywood's an interesting one. I wouldn't say he is a, like you said, he's not a bad choice. I just don't know if he's done enough to warrant that at this juncture, basically, right? Like, has he proven enough within the Cardinals that he is one of the, you know, three best players on the team? You know, Ertz is still a productive veteran, but is his kind of explosiveness in those days behind him, or is this, you know, and obviously coming off an ACL on top of that. Connor's intriguing because, you know, obviously he's a very good story and we know what type of player he is, right? So he's an easy one to like. You know, for me, it comes down to a couple names. I think first, Jalen Thompson doesn't get enough credit for how good he has been.
I forgot to mention him here, but yes, he was one of the players that I listed on my poll. I omitted Connor, but included Jalen.
Yeah. And I think that's probably accurate. You know, it's not a shot at Connor. I think he's a very good player, very capable player in the NFL. It's just, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure whether his presence is that much of a, you know, game changer from something else that they could get. You know, so let me ask you this. Is a healthy DJ Humphries kind of number three with a bullet, or is that time past now because of kind of the age and injuries? It feels like, you know, that DJ's still not that old, but now he's turning 30, I believe, this year, right?
Yes, he is.
And so the question becomes is, you know, will the injuries and then obviously age catch up with him to the point where he's just not that, you know, type of player anymore?
Well, what's interesting is because DJ Humphries, if you look across the spectrum of fans, he is underappreciated. I think
large, I think he's widely underappreciated by our fans, because while he is not a great left tackle, he's a pretty good one. And he's like, if you look at it, obviously the team still believes in him. He was front and center as kind of the face of the uniform reveal when they used him. Jonathan Gannon is very big on that. The team last year, like, now before his injury, like if we look, like if he made it, he made the Pro Bowl in 2021, but his 2020 season was absolutely fantastic. Maybe it's because of the being injured for the last half of last season and having a few misses here or there. But yeah, left tackle is such a hard thing. And what's great about left tackle is that, you know, you can be a solid left tackle for. Like, good ones, they play a long, long time. I think a healthy DJ Humphreys probably is for me, clearly, almost clearly, the third best player. I personally kind of lean towards, I think it's Zach Ertz, because in terms of talent and production and impact, James Conner, like if I look at James Conner, you know what? He might be like of the number three guys, he might be the most important, like where his performance is the most impactful, because of what that will do with the offense. Because if he is, especially with the what we look at the roster at running back, if James Conner
just how thin they are,
right? If James Conner is playing very well, I think that will have a dynamic impact on the offense. But do I think he's the third best player? I think that's probably Humphreys or Ertz, in my opinion.
And that, I mean, and this is obviously a conversation for another day, but that goes to show kind of the lack of hits that they've had in terms of their NFL draft and even free agency pickups. Because, I mean, Ertz is he's going to be 32? Or is he going to be 33?
Let me see.
I'm double checking right now, but he's going to be 33 this year. So he's, you know, playing age 33 this year. He'll be 33 in November. So it's crazy to think that, right? And they've had top 10 picks. They've had top 20 picks in that time. And, you know, outside of Humphreys, all these names we're talking about came from outside of the organization, you know, like obviously Ertz they traded for, James Conner they picked up basically off the scrap, right? Hollywood Brown they traded for. So like that's their two best players with the bullet are, you know, homegrown, home drafted players.
Yeah.
But the fact that that's all they have and the rest of them, you know, there's this debate whether it's a guy that they drafted in 2015 or is it, you know, out. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, a guy like Zach Ertz being your third best player. There's nothing wrong with it, except you probably want to have without sounding rude, you want to have a better player as your third best player.
Well, especially like, look at what they have defensively. Like you'd like for one of their cornerbacks or edge rushers, right, to be their next best, because those are the premium positions, right?
Right.
And it would kind of be beneficial to do that. In terms of talent, I think there's no question that the third most talented player on the team outside of Buddha and Kyler is Isaiah Simmons, because he just has skill upon skill that has not been completely unlocked yet. We've seen flashes of just absolute greatness, but I think there's no doubt that he is one of the most talented players on the team. And if you look at statistically, honestly, you can't be terribly disappointed with what he's produced over the last two seasons. It's just he hasn't been like all pro level. And honestly, being drafted number 8 overall, it almost feels like too much expectation, but that's kind of what you want from him. When they drafted him, you're thinking all pro type or all pro type player, right?
Well, yeah. And that, I mean, you're expecting, it's something we've talked about, you know, unfortunately, and you kind of mentioned it with Humphreys, like there's only one left tackle that's an all pro every year, right? You know, and usually it's just Trent Williams, but if it's not, you know, there's other guys, but usually there's, you know, a left tackle, right tackle. They've gone away from, what's the word I'm looking for? Designating necessarily left side versus right side, but we tend to see that. For linebackers, there's three spots and they don't really designate, right? They don't really say like, oh, well, this guy played inside.
It's interesting. They have, at least for, I think they have middle linebacker and outside linebacker, and outside linebackers get selected between pass rushers.
Yeah.
And off the ball guys, because you've got the defensive ends. It's almost like, why? But yeah, I think they do make two linebacker designations rather than inside and outside. They do middle and outside, which sometimes that's going to leave a guy like Simmons out, because the middle linebacker designation is, that's really only your 4-3 linebackers.
Right. And so that's the thing, as you look at it, you have, you know, Fred Warner, Roquan Smith, you know, the two guys. Your outside linebackers, you have Micah Parsons, you have Hassan, you have Matt Milano, who's one of the few that weren't, that's not a pass rusher, as you're saying. You know, so it's just, it comes down to what, you know, what are you getting from a guy that you drafted 8th overall? And that's the thing, is fair or not, you're expecting, Roquan Smith level,
right?
Like, if you're gonna draft a guy in the same, with the same pick, the 8th overall pick, the expectation is he's going to be Roquan Smith level, a three-time all pro, one, you know, one time first team all pro, two-time second team all pro, and a pro bowler. Like, that's the expectation level. So that's the unfortunate reality, because, you know, there's just, if you're drafting a guy highly like that, you're expecting a Pro Bowl level player. It's like the quarterback situation. Who's the quarterback? Gosh, it's going to drive me nuts. But like, is it, I think like Josh Allen's never been an all pro, right? Because,
yeah, well, probably not.
Are you going to be an all pro over Patrick Mahomes? You know, like, you know, and that's the thing, is you go back and you look at these all pro designations, it's really tough. A lot of times to crack the lineup. And so it just comes down to like, are you playing at that level? But when you draw, to your point, a linebacker or a running back, you know, let's say the expectation level, unfortunately, changes, right? It's like, oh, we took you this high because we expect that you're this good. And then it doesn't happen, and you sit there and go, well, yeah, he's fine, but I didn't draft a guy 8th overall to be fine. I drafted a guy 8th overall to be like, holy cow, this guy's
like, he's got to be special, right? It's almost right. Feels like it's at that position, he's got to be special. And you look at statistically, he checks a lot of boxes because he does a lot of things. And we're going to be interested in see how they use him. One of the things that we didn't bring up for this show is how they're going to use Isaiah, because we kind of talked about that before. But Gannon did finally clue us in that apparently that they have a couple of spots where they're going to use. And yes, he is still practicing with the safeties. He is practicing with defensive backs. He's still designated as a linebacker on the roster. Just like last year, he was designated as a linebacker. He practiced with the safeties and then ultimately played mostly coverage from the slot. We'll see what they end up doing with him, and which will probably be, if I had to pick two roles, he will play stack linebacker and he'll play coverage. That'll probably be mostly the role that Kaiser White had with the Eagles last year. If we had to kind of pick a type of role, I think it would be that. And honestly, I think it'll be fairly similar to what they did with him last year.
I think that's something that we are kind of expecting, kind of, right?
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting. You know, we were talking about this off the air, just how they're going to deploy this defense, because they brought in, you know, Patrick Toney, who was a defense coordinator. Obviously, Gannon's a defense coordinator. And then Nick Rallis, who's, you know, looked at as one of the rising stars in the NFL coaching ranks. And so the question becomes, what is this defense going to look like? And I think the answer is nobody has any idea yet. Like, because right. I think that's why they brought in so many different viewpoints, because they have an idea of being flexible defensively, which is, you know, not something that you're really used to. I don't know how to explain it, but it's not something that we've seen, right? Like, typically this is what we do, this is how we play it, and now all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's like, oh, we might see a defense that's diverse and changes week to week. That would be it would be different, and it'd be interesting to see how it works out.
Absolutely. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. What is the Cardinals' biggest strength? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Do the Cardinals have any strengths? We don't know. They're expected to be terrible. In fact, Pro Football Focus, they ranked the Cardinals number 32 in terms of roster strength or roster talent. I don't know if, honestly, it's hard to argue that at this point. When you've got Kyler Murray injured, you've got Zach Ertz injured, you have basically nobody on defense. Like, you've got Budda Baker on defense that has accomplished something in this league. No proven pass rush. But what was notable is what they, because they list their biggest strength, their biggest question mark, and their X factor. Obviously, the X factor is going to be Kyler Murray and when he returns and how he returns when he comes back. But Pro Football Focus listed their greatest strength as their pass protection. What do you think about that? Do you think that's actually might be their strength right now?
You know, I'm not sure it's their biggest strength, but as you're kind of talking through it, it's probably, as you're saying, their biggest strength right now, right? Like, that's the designation that you have to put on it, is that right now that's probably what they're best at. Because like you said, we just really, I mean, it's just a very uncertain situation. Like you said, we don't know when Kyler's going to be back. So we can't say, oh, the offense is going to be their strength or the passing game or whatever. We don't know when Ertz is going to be back. Because like you said, Gannon's being a little coy with everything. So what is the most known? Well, the most known commodity or entity on this roster is offensive line. And outside of center, it's pretty much, I don't want to say locked down, because we don't know where Paris Johnson's going to play yet. We're not sure if it's going to be Josh Jones or Kelvin Beachum. You know, there's a lot of question marks. But when you're utilizing Pro Football Focus's grades and their beliefs, they like Josh Jones. They like Kelvin Beachum. They obviously loved Paris Johnson coming out. We talked about DJ earlier. So if you're utilizing their own, you know, algorithms and grades, you're going to come away with, well, we feel best about or feel most comfortable about, you know, the pass protection. And you know, right now that does make sense, you know. Outside of Will Hernandez, most of the O-linemen's best work is done in the passing game. You know, Will's a guy that you can make a case that he's good at both, right? Maybe a little stronger as a run guy. That's not a negative thing. He's still good enough. In, you know. Like I said, we'll figure out the center situation and see how it unfolds. It sounds like Holt's going to be the guy initially, and then, you know, maybe that changes. So with what we know, and more importantly, what we don't know, it makes sense that they would list the pass protection at this juncture.
Yeah, it does. That said, that's weird that they would name that, considering, honestly, 3 out of 4 spots on the offensive line aren't known.
Right, but I think again, it goes back to they like the options they have.
That's true. That's true. They do. Like, honestly, people won't like Dennis Daly, but look at the options that they have at right tackle. You've got Paris Johnson and Kelvin Beachum and Josh Jones. Those are all really solid options if you're looking on paper. Center, highly questionable. Left guard, you could go with Jones. You could go with Johnson. You could go with Elijah Wilkinson. You could go with Dennis Daly. You've got Marquise Hayes, a guy that the team loved a year ago, granted a different coaching staff. But yeah, center's a big question mark. Might the biggest strength in terms of roster talent, you could argue that. Now, this is not a particular, you know, they're talking pass protection, the run game, the receiving. So it's, but in terms of talent, probably their greatest strength is their linebacker talent or their back end play. You might be able to say that, even though you look at the metrics, they had a bad pass defense last year. They weren't good at stopping the run, but in terms of talent, now it appears that Pro Football Focus was not looking at so much as the strength in terms of position, but strength as in production. And yeah, pass protection probably makes the most sense because they don't know what you're going to see in the run game yet. And you don't know what you're going to get for pass rush or run defense or pass defense. But I think in terms of skill set, if you call the strength the pass protection, if you look at the talent, I think if you're looking at the linebacker group, like even I think a little bit more than it's safety, because safety is a little less impactful than linebacker play, but because you've got the likes of Zaven and Isaiah, and then you add in Kaiser White, who's been incredibly productive the past couple of seasons and very highly rated in coverage. I think that is also that could be mentioned, even though in terms of PFF metrics, that doesn't show up. You wouldn't be able to say, okay, what is it? It's not linebacker pass coverage. It's not coverage versus tight ends. It's not because their pass defense was bad. The pass defense probably still looks bad.
And it's like you said, like from a talent, Rich is probably stronger, but from a talent perspective, yeah, that's probably where you would lean. But like you said, there's just too many unknowns and uncertainties. And again, using PFF's own metrics, they haven't graded well enough to be like, oh yeah, this is where the talent is. And that's the unfortunate reality of it, right? That you've got a chance to have a group that's talented, but there's also the question of, are these guys going to be able to reach their talent level with the lack of talent in front and around them? You know, so that makes it difficult as well, because defense, obviously offense, we've talked about before, offensive line is such a unit and needs so much to be in sync with one another. And linebacker play is kind of similar. Like, you can have really good linebackers, but outside of volume tackles, they're not making an impact because the people in front of them might not be giving them the best opportunity to excel.
Coming up next on the Resips here at Podcast, the Star of Cardinals Talk on the Web, quarterback rankings. Where does Colt McCoy fall? Where should he be? And where would we rank Kyler Murray? That's coming up next on Resips here at. Back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best our Cardinals talk on the web. Pro Football Focus also ranked there. They're going through their position rankings, top 32 at every different position, as can be likely expected. The Cardinals are not heavily included in most of those. But starting quarterbacks, it was interesting because they omitted Kyler Murray purposefully because he is not expected to be the week one starter. And so they had Colt McCoy ranked. And understandably, he's low. In fact, out of 32 projected week one starters, he comes in at number 29. Now, let's talk about Colt, and then let's talk about where Murray fall in this list if we were going to rank him. I honestly think, well, McCoy ranked number 29. I get it. But I also don't, because a couple of guys listed ahead of him don't make much sense unless they're looking as a projection. The three guys he is ahead of, C.J. Stroud, rookie, Desmond Ridder, second-year player, and Anthony Richardson, also rookie. And Rob, rookie at that. So, okay, I would put McCoy above them. Yep. Ranked above Colt McCoy is Baker Mayfield, Sam Howell, and his one career start for the Washington Commanders, Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers, Bryce Young, and then at that you get to number 24, Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think I above that you've got Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy, Kenny Pickett, Mac Jones. I'm not going to try and argue that Colt McCoy deserves to be above Jimmy, Brock, or Kenny Pickett, or even Kenny Pickett for that matter, or Mac Jones. But I do think that McCoy being number 29 is ignoring that he's not terrible. And the guys he's in front of are just unknowns. And we've seen some good things out of McCoy. I don't know if I would, I don't know why you would put Jordan Love or Sam Howell ahead of him, honestly. Baker Mayfield, sure. But two guys who have nothing in their career?
What's funny is I would rather them rank Love and Howell over what Mayfield's done lately. Like, Mayfield's been spectacularly bad. And and so, I mean, that's what's weird to me is that, is Colt McCoy a top 25 quarterback in the NFL? No. If he's starting and this list is out there, you know, of starters, could you put him at 25 and have, you know, like you said, Mayfield, Howell, and potentially even Love and Young below him? Yeah, it would make sense. He's done more. He's, you know what you're getting with him. And honestly, with Garoppolo's injury situation, I don't know what, if you can, I mean, from a talent perspective, you know, I would say he's still or is better than Colt McCoy, but availabilities.
It's the best ability, right?
Yeah.
So I find it puzzling. Okay. I get why Bryce Young is ranked ahead of Colt McCoy, but why is CJ Stroud listed below it? The two things don't make sense because the two were great college quarterbacks. Anthony Richardson, I get because he's super raw. I don't understand why Bryce Young is ranked four above McCoy, but Stroud below him. That's the only thing that I don't understand about the rankings for the rookies. Because if you project that Bryce talent wise, obviously I'd put Bryce Young ahead of Colt McCoy, but I'd probably put CJ Stroud ahead of him. I guess what I would do, if they've got Jimmy Garoppolo, they got Garoppolo 24, Bryce Young 25, I'd put Stroud 26, and then McCoy 27, and put him above Love, Howell, and Baker.
Yeah, and I think that would make sense. I think it's all kind of
right. But honestly, like, this is a stupid argument, right? Because we're arguing, but he's better than these two guys that haven't done anything in the NFL yet.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all kind of shakes out.
So here's the question, though. Kyler Murray, not listed. Where would you put him? Here's the rankings from top to bottom. From top, we'll go from 1 to 15. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, number 7, Trevor Lawrence, 8, Kirk Cousins, 9, Dak Prescott, 10, Tua Tagovailoa, 11, Matthew Stafford, 12, Deshaun Watson, 13, Derek Carr, 14, Geno Smith, 15, then Jared Goff, 16. Where would you put Kyler in that group? If you, considering, I guess you have to consider his production last year and what we've seen from him previously. Where would be kind of the sweet spot where you would put him?
You know, I would right now I'd put him at 14. So I'd bump Carr and Smith down. You can talk me into moving Watson and Kyler into the 11-12 slots and moving Tua and Stafford down. But, you know, all things being equal, I would say that Stafford had a better 21.
Oh, Stafford in 21 was special. Goodness.
Yeah, than what Kyler had. And if we're, again, saying both are coming off an injury-plagued and kind of injury-plagued season, then I would probably keep Stafford above him. So I'd put him in that 12 to 14 range, and really it's just, you know, kind of picking your favorite. But this is what I say to people all the time, and I think you and I have had this conversation. I'm not sure we've had it on the podcast. The way quarterback works more now than ever, and we saw it with the previous generation with, you know, Brady and Manning and Breeze, is that you have Mahomes right now. You have Mahomes. And then 2 to 14 is basically a jumble every season.
Yeah.
And a guy, you know, raises up, a guy falls down, and all of that kind of plays itself out throughout the year. I mean, Jalen Hurts was probably what, number 3 or 4 last year. You know, is he going to be that again this year? I don't know.
And they have him ranked 7th. Justin Herbert ranked number 4. Interesting, because he wasn't.
Yeah, just
he wasn't very good last year. Like, he wasn't great, which is what he was projecting. He was. There were some definite flaws to the game, just like Kyler last year. It was very, very odd to see some of the metrics, like his deep passing game last year for Kyler just fell off. But I'll be honest, I don't blame Kyler for a lot of that, because part of it was his holding out, so he didn't get the reps. Part of it was Christian Kirk was gone. Part of it was not having Hopkins. And then part of it was just his receivers almost being there. He had so many almost throws last year that it was ridiculous when those shows were all on target for his first 3 seasons. But yeah, Kyler, like Kirk Cousins, you don't like to say it, but Kirk Cousins continues to produce at a really high level. Dak Prescott's great. Tua, it's up and down. Tua's a guy I have a hard time putting above Kyler, but his high-end play is good. Stafford, when he's healthy, is special. Deshaun Watson was unimpressive when he played last year. But yeah, I you know, definitely ahead of Geno Smith also last year was, though he came to earth a bit late in the season, but Geno Smith was something special pretty much last year. But definitely ahead of Derek Carr. Maybe ahead of Watson. Like, I would put Stafford higher on this list, honestly. I would put him above Tua, and assuming a healthy Stafford, I'd have him above Cousins and Prescott too, to be honest. But, you know, Kyler Murray is in that, you know, consistently 10 to 14 range right now, with the potential to be to get up to a top five, or even talent wise to even he could hasn't shown it yet, but if he played it at that high level consistently, he could challenge Mahomes for the top spot. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and I think the goal has to be, you know, once he's back, for to see him play his way into the top 10.
Yes.
heading into next year, and whenever that comes, you know, the earlier it goes, the, you know, better it is for the club as a whole. But
when he's physically and mentally ready.
Right.
All right. Coming up next on the Rise Up Here podcast, the best of Cardinals talking. Let's talk a little bit about Zaven Collins. We talked some about Isaiah Simmons in previous shows, but let's talk more Zaven Collins. That's coming up next on Rise Up Here. We're back on the Rise Up Here podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Zaven Collins continuing to get work in OTAs off the edge. That's pretty much the only place he has been seen getting work. Whether that is a signal of a true position change, or simply the fact that they trust him to play off the ball already, like he's smart enough to do that, and they're giving him the reps right now to play off the edge, where do you think he will end up playing more? I believe the more we hear about what this defense is, that there is going to be plenty of moving around. For in terms of front seven, I think particularly that there will be a lot of mixing and matching in the front seven in particular. Where do you think Zaven ends up playing more this season? Off the ball or as an edge rusher?
Man, that's such a fun question to see how it plays out, because I think it's going to... Do you think he's going to play the Hassan role a little more?
I think that is a possibility. What the Hassan role looks like in this defense, I guess. Potentially. I do know this. Like, if you look at the type of defensive end or basically edge rusher that the Eagles have used, or that the Colts, like, Zaven fits the physical profile perfectly. He didn't have the skill set coming out of college, and it wasn't one of his strengths, but in terms of size and length, Zaven Collins is built 6'4", 265. Like, exactly what you would want, like what the Eagles used last year as their 4-3 DNs, right? And so I think there's the potential where they want to make him versatile in that sense. And I think it also depends on, like, where I think he gets played more. I think it's highly dependent on how they use Isaiah Simmons, right? Because if Isaiah is playing more off the ball, wouldn't having Zaven in a Hassan / edge role make sense? But then at the same time, you've got some young pass rushers you like, Akan Thomas, Mijay Sanders, B.J. Ojulari, they just drafted. How many snaps is Zaven going to get from the edge when you've got true edge players in Thomas and Ojulari?
Yeah, and obviously the investment in Ojulari, similar to what we're talking about with Marquise Hayes, and you know, just slightly similar, that they may not have the same investment and or plans for Mijay and for Cam Thomas.
I'm pretty sure Cam Thomas is still heavily figured into their plans, and if there's for anything other reasons that we think that, well, because Cam and Mijay were both part of the uniform reveal, which if there was any question about their prominence, they probably wouldn't have had them.
No, and that's, yeah, I mean, that's one of the big things. But, you know, we also, I mean, you can say the same about Zaven and Isaiah, right? And so you just kind of figure out how this is all going to work out. But I think we're going to see Zaven and Isaiah moved around quite a bit, with Kaiser kind of holding down the fort in the middle, so to speak.
It's going to be one undersized Mike.
I don't necessarily know if he's going to be the Mike, but yeah, I think he's going to be the guy that kind of, you know, plays that position. I'm interested to see how this all works out, because it's going to be interesting how they decide they want to, how they want to deploy all of this.
That's, oh, I can't wait to see live snaps of how they do things. And I hope that, when they do training camp, one, that it continues to be as open as it's always been. And that two, that they don't try and do what Cliff Kingsbury did, that basically that they practiced one set of offense and then had a secret offense that was behind closed doors before the season began. But yeah, just to kind of see in training camp, because I don't know if we'll see that in even in mini camp next week, because I think they're maybe next week, maybe it will be the first time, because it'll be the first time that you can in mini camp. Well, you can now, but I think they're limiting their 11 on 11, even though it's not full contact. I just want to see some formations, like how do they look. Like, is he doing what Reddick did, where he was something like, he sometimes lined up, like, he, technically he's a rush linebacker, but he lined up on the edge. Does he blitz from off the ball? That front seven is going to be fascinating to watch, because I think the back end, you're going to see more or less traditional type things, right? It's just a matter of the types of coverages. You can't get too crazy creative with your defensive backfield in terms of deployment. But your front seven can definitely be fun.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And with that, let's go ahead and wrap this edition of the Rise of Sea Red podcast up. We've wrapped up episode 427. Let's ultimately, just prediction-wise, do you think he'll be doing more edge or more off the ball, if we're going to make a prediction?
I think it'll be more off the ball because of what we talked about with the glut of guys in Myjai Cam and obviously the addition of Ojulari. I think he'll be utilized there, but I don't think it'll be as much.
Good. That's kind of my feeling as well. Maybe, like, perhaps he gets used in particular packages as a rusher, but also to give him the reps so that he can rush from the off the ball. So he starts off the ball, but then late in the snap count moves up to the line of scrimmage so that he can work on his pass rushing moves. I mean, that might be ultimately what it's for, but that'll wrap up episode 427 of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. We will see if we can throw together another episode later this week, either with the two of us or just by myself, but more off season stuff coming up. Thanks for listening. As always, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. This is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.
Rise up! Rise up! Rise up! Rise up!